from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
This is Danny and Dusty.
Meringue-a-tang is going to be a thing.
You're not coining anything new.
With Danny Meringue and Dusty, the Fan Man Hera.
All fellows with monkey sounds in there and called good.
The old Danny Meringue pie.
Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and 1080.
Yeah, this is going to be awesome.
The Fan.
Good afternoon. Hey, welcome in, everybody. Happy Monday. Danny and Dusty with you. How's everybody doing? No Jeff Rust here.
Nope.
No Jeff Rust here.
No rusticles.
It's his birthday. It's his birthday.
He can cry if he wants to.
Tomorrow is his birthday. So make sure we reach out to Rust. Wish him a happy birthday tomorrow. He'll be out today and tomorrow. He's doing his... I'm assuming they just went to Manzanita. That's what the Rust do.
Yeah.
But he is out. It's his birthday tomorrow. So we'll celebrate his birthday. But that means Will Ortner's here doing updates.
Indeed.
Hey, Will.
What up, dude?
Everybody have a good weekend?
Good weekend.
A great weekend.
Yeah.
Yeah, but spent the day out on the boat yesterday, on the water.
Ooh, nice.
It's wonderful. It's a nice, crisp 91 degrees. Mm. Every time you get warm, you just go ploop and just hop in the water.
Yeah, watch and dodge those turds in the river.
You know, look, man, being down in the that part of the water, it's not quite as bad.
Yeah, if the Olympic triathletes have to do it,
yeah.
I think it's no big deal.
And they do it
basically
in, like, fresh
all Olympians.
Poop.
Yeah,
it's Paris, man. That's
not good.
No, it's not good. Threw my wife in the inner tube and trolled her around for a little bit, just kind of pulled her back and forth across
mm-hmm,
the wake.
Mm-hmm.
And then after about, I don't know, 5-7 minutes, I decided I needed to establish some order.
Oh, so you're in the doghouse?
No, she loved
it. You toss her?
I absolutely threw her. I snapped her so far outside the wake that she passed the boat. And which makes about 25 feet of slack. And then I hammered the throttle back down to pull her back in into the wake. Threw her probably 6-7 feet in the air.
Oh boy.
And she opted to sit in the tube as opposed to lay on it.
That's a rookie move.
Look, it's more comfortable.
It's a rookie move.
But when you start leaning, there's no control. You're done. So she went even parallel with the water. You know, midair, and I'm like, I can see it in the mirror, and I'm like, oh, this is gonna be good.
She absolutely
threw her out of the tube. She skipped like a rock, like 20 feet.
I love that.
It was great.
That's fantastic. Yeah. Those are the little things that you could just be like, hey, we're just tubing.
Yeah, I know.
But it's your sweet revenge.
It was. It was fun.
You know, there's probably months of pent up arguments that you've been sitting there just sitting in your brain, and you're like, well. How about these dishes being done? Wow. Okay. Well, that's one way to do it.
It was fun. No, she had a blast.
Good.
She had never really like wrecked like that before, so it was a surprise to her.
Center flying, huh?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Look at that.
No, the having water shoved down your nose at that speed is
it's a hell of a thing.
It's a different feeling.
It's a hell of a deal.
It's a different feeling.
It's a hell of a deal. Well, good. I'm glad everybody got out and enjoyed the sunshine a little bit.
I didn't really have a choice. My internet was out for a day and a half.
I wouldn't mind that. What happened with your internet?
I don't know.
You were still digging a hole in your backyard?
No.
You hit a line somewhere.
No. Come on, man. I don't bury anything on my property.
Internet went out for a day and a half. That was your cable out too?
Like, yeah,
your TV?
Everything's out.
Yeah. I wouldn't mind that.
It went out before it went out of the water, and I was like, oh, it'll probably be back when we get home. And, well, I got home, and
I don't think I...
still out. I was like, oh, this is a problem.
Yeah, that gets you, but you're back up and running?
Yeah, as back of this up morning, running. So.
Okay. That is something that I don't know if the inconvenience of it, when your internet goes out, you're like, damn, how much we rely on it now.
Well, for everything.
You know? But there's also a part of me where it's like,
just a little bit of relief. You get to detach from some stuff for a while.
And
when we got home from the water, I mean, when you're out on the water for 6-7 hours, you come home and you're exhausted.
Yeah.
So we just took a nap anyways.
Perfect.
So.
See?
Yeah, but you know, my wife works from home, so she was like, if I have to go into work tomorrow.
She had to go into work?
She did not. I got it fixed before she, I was like, I'll just tell the people down there, we have somebody coming this morning.
Okay.
So they showed up this morning and got it squared away.
Well, good. At least it was prompt?
They were going to put me on the schedule for tomorrow, and I may have made a big deal about it.
Oh, okay.
Do you know who I am?
Yeah.
I'm on the radio.
Do you know what I need to do?
I didn't go quite that far, but I was prepared.
You were going to do that?
You're going to name drop yourself?
Gosh,
I'm Danny Murray.
No. I wasn't going to name drop myself. I was doing it for my wife.
But you were going to name drop.
No, not name drop.
What would you have said? What would you? Let's role play this.
I would have pressed the urgency of needing it.
How would you have done that? Sir, we can't get out there till Tuesday.
I would have done something along the lines. I would have lied. I would have lied through my teeth.
Okay.
And said something along the lines like, I work from home and I cannot not do this anywhere else.
How often do you think they get that? Like, dude, that's probably the most common, and they probably have their little sheet of responses that they get to, which is, well, I'm very sorry. That's unfortunate that this happened. We're very sorry that you have this outage right now, but there's nothing that we can do. There's
a lot
of people that do work for home.
I would have reached further and been like, well, my wife also has a job that requires her to work from home, and that... is quite important. I would not have said anything about mine.
Well, sir, you can go to an internet cafe. You can go to Starbucks.
She cannot.
They've got free Wi-Fi.
She needs a protected space.
Mm. Well, looks like she's going to have to take a day off because you don't have internet.
Yeah,
and then that's when you go, do you know who I am?
That would have gotten to that stage.
Oh, God.
I don't like
that. And then you know what they would have said? No, we don't know who you are.
And we don't care.
See you Tuesday. Yeah.
But no.
Honestly, that is the worst.
Have to go that far. I've only ever done that once.
Did it work?
Oh, God, yeah.
You were like, I'm the great Danny Meringue, and then all of a sudden the flood.
In what scenario did you use this, and how did it work?
No, a company screwed up royally, and it wasn't even for me. It was my dad.
Okay.
And I went ballistic on them, and I ended up absolutely thrashing them all over social media. And they called almost immediately to rectify the situation.
Mm.
So
you would have gone, do you know how many followers I have? Do you know how many people follow me on Twitter?
Uh-huh.
I think, though, when you're dealing with
an
internet provider, they're like, yeah okay.
Yeah. Also, it's Comcast. Everybody knows they know everyone hates them.
Yeah. It's a get in line, buddy.
Yeah, 100%. But no, I don't. I always feel nasty doing that.
You were in that realm of.
I was prepared to do whatever I needed to do.
Yeah, to get the internet back up and running.
Yeah.
Just get the internet back up and running.
I don't care how much of an a-hole it makes me look like.
I wonder if it's like, so think of that. The companies that just, they really don't care about you. Airlines, cable and internet providers, they know that they got you by the short ones.
Cell phone companies.
They go, yes. You know what? I think cell phone companies have gotten a little bit better.
It's because, weirdly enough, the government actually broke up a bunch of stuff with them.
And now there's actually options that you can go to. Like, the worst part with internet is that you're like, I'm not going to do this internet anymore. And they're like, okay.
Good luck.
As they got a map up going, yeah, you're not going anywhere else.
I have Ziply now.
You do?
As an option.
You have an option.
I've used that against Xfinity Comcast before.
And like, that's the worst though with like airlines when you have a flight booked and they're like, okay, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
You know, thankfully the government has intervened. Look at this, government intervention actually working with cell phone companies and airlines?
To an extent.
To an extent?
We'll see what happens.
Not on the doors.
No. Well, they're getting into that now. Yeah. They're getting into that.
No, the government actually got paid for that.
Yeah, and they're gonna come back around and say, we're gonna go no counties on the multiple deaths here. On the hundreds of
deaths.
We're
gonna keep the doors closed.
And doors flying off. Yeah. We're gonna call no counties on that. But moving forward, you better not, guys. You better not. I think with airlines, though, there's kind of this... there's always the buyer beware airlines, right? Your Spirits, Frontiers,
Hooters.
You know what you're getting. Hooters Airlines?
They had an airlines.
Everybody had an airline back in the day. Like,
is that
a thing? There was a lot. Well, I don't know.
Is Virgin, everyone had one?
Virgin's around. Yeah.
They got great flights internationally.
I think they pop up every year.
Yeah. And then you have... A lot of them have gone the way of the dodo because they just get overpowered and bought out. But airlines, cable internet, I will throw the cell phones, but I think they're getting better. They know that you don't have anywhere else to go.
Yeah, they call it a monopoly. It's not supposed to happen.
And they just do not give a rip.
No, it's like trash companies. Like, we have one option for trash. And you're just like, this is okay, huh?
Yeah.
We're just told what we're going to be paying, and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, wait, what? Mm-hmm. What? No.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's very dumb. I don't like it.
I saw a headline, did not read the article. PG wants to go for like a 10.6% rate increase.
Yeah, good luck with
again,
that.
Again. Yeah. Like, and they've already raised it like 46%.
Yeah.
Cool. Nobody needs lights. That's a tough one, too.
That's
a tough one.
No, it's...
Have you seen
what those PGE workers make?
Yeah, it's not bad.
Holy crap.
Well, I'm glad you got your internet back and you didn't have to...
act like a douche canoe?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, trust me. Look, I didn't want to, but I'm sitting with my wife staring out the hole in my face. I am not driving into work today.
Oh.
And I was like...
Well, you might have to.
Yeah.
I wonder how many people are just like, I never want to have a job where I have to go in again.
I mean, that's a real thing. We did the PDXYZ last week, and, you know, the office space around here, I think Portland's office space is only at like 40-something percent capacity.
Yeah.
It's like something around 60% of the commercial real estate is empty in Portland.
But you do have companies that are now being like, no, come on, you have to be. There is something to effective... workplace environments in being in person, knowing the people you're working beside and
like,
working along.
Like, you and I have done some Zoom stuff before, and it's absolutely unabashedly miserable. Even though it's like, people say all you're doing is talking. It's like, it doesn't work when you're not in the same room. It's very weird.
Yeah,
yeah, it's very weird.
Right?
Trust me.
Yeah. We got a Vancouver Ford text line. You would have sounded like Diana Ross pulled over for her DUI. Do you know who I am? Yes. You're a drunk bee going to jail.
Yeah, 100%.
Or Justin Timberlake, where Justin Timberlake asked the officer if he knew who he was, and he's like, I don't.
Yeah.
It's going to ruin the world tour.
That's a tough one. Going to ruin the world tour. This is it. I don't think it's ruining Justin Timberlake's world tour, though.
That's a great line, though.
I use it a lot in everyday life.
Gonna ruin the world tour.
What's a bigger move? Handing out the your playing card or saying you're ruining the world tour?
Quintel Woods. I would say your rookie card.
Yeah.
I think your rookie card, because it's also like Justin Timberlake. That cop should have known who Justin Timberlake is.
Yeah,
he probably did know who he was, but he went with you're being a D-bag. I'm not going to do this.
Yeah, I'm not going to give you the satisfaction.
No, you're still going. Quintel Woods handing over his rookie card and being like, yeah, this is my ID. You're not good enough to do that, you know?
Power move, though.
That's like, yeah. My great-grandpa Don was a cab driver, and he played for the Yankees. He pitched for the Yankees, and he had in his wallet where his driver's license should be his baseball card. And it was like, Grandpa Don, you need your license with you. You are a professional driver of human beings.
This counts. This counts.
You can't do that, man. You can't be doing that. Could you imagine that, though? Like, I mean, I wonder how many current baseball players think of that now. if you were to go and even like my great grandpa Don, he didn't play a long time in the major leagues, but he pitched in a World Series and he won a game in the World Series. Could you imagine any of those guys, any of these pitchers now, ending up driving cab in the back end of their lives? Because
yeah,
we do have the, you know, what is it? You know, 50% of professional athletes end up broke 5 years after. What they do now, though, is they just start training kids. Like the new wave of athlete is like, nah, I'm just going to open up like a pitching school. You know, I'm going to go train.
I don't
guys.
Need to learn to do something else. I'm just going to do the thing that I used to do and just not do it, but
yeah,
teach, air quotes.
Yeah, yeah. And Grandpa Don's pitching school would have been a little unique, though. He was like, what you need to do.
If you can dodge a wrench, you can dodge a ball.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
He's like, you know, I strengthened my arm. I threw a tennis ball at our stoop because I didn't have anything else. It was like, oh, so you just threw things at stairs.
Without internet.
Yeah, life without internet.
See, this is where internet was probably good.
That and a steady dose of brown water. Mm. I think that would have been his training regimen. Probably not good for the kids.
No.
But you know what? Toughen them up a little bit.
They might be able to throw more than 75 pitches. Just saying. Might not have a whole lot of break on the curveball, but I bet you they can go out there and eat up innings.
Yeah, yeah. You just go out there and just throw it till your arm falls off, yeah. Buddy.
No RPMs on the pitches, but my God, can they go out there and throw?
That's what you got to do. That's what you got to do. All right, I don't know how we got here, but we're off and rolling. All right. It is a Monday show, and we're actually loaded on this Monday. The calendar has turned to August. We've already had the Hall of Fame game last Thursday, which gave us a nothing burger. Mm. But it does mean that training camp competitions are hot and heavy. We will go around, take a whip around the NFL. Some surprising battles that could be won by guys we thought may have been done. Mm. And so we'll go around the NFL. We got some baseball notes today. I got some baseball stuff. Oh. Yeah. Go, the White Sox are really bad.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they're making a run at history tonight.
I mean, if you're going to suck something fierce.
Yeah. You know what? Mm. They got a shot, though, tonight. And then we have Olympics to talk about because, you know, all is right in the world. The fastest man in the world resides in the United States of America. That's great to have. And also, Ryan Krauser. Boring zone, boring Oregon zone. Ryan Krauser, three-peat as a gold medalist in the shot put. Is he the greatest athlete to ever come from the state of Oregon?
Hmm.
Can you qualify spinning and chucking 16 pounds, 74 feet as the greatest athlete to come from the state of Oregon? 503-864-6326. That's Vancouver Ford text line. And that's one of the pressing questions that we'll have for you today. But where we got to start this bad boy off, the first meaningless poll of the season is out. Are the Ducks the third best team in college football? Danny and Dusty on the Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one. Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
This is Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and Portland's sports leader, 1080, The Fan.
All right, the USLBM College Football Coaches Poll has been released for the first time this season. Quick, do you know what USLBM is? Anybody?
No.
Anybody know?
Well, United States?
Yes.
I went labor board.
You're going labor board, huh?
Hmm.
It is, no, building materials.
Mm.
Labor building materials.
No, it's close with labor.
Okay. Yeah, they're doing, they do building materials. That's what USLBM is. And they are now the proud sponsors of the coaches poll. USLBM is the largest privately owned full line distributor of specialty building materials. How about that? Learn something new every day.
Somebody is 100% funneling money somewhere there. That just doesn't make any sense.
Well, they just want to get their name out. And so they're doing it in the college football coaches poll. And the first coaches poll has been released. And preseason polls, I don't care about them.
Yes, you do.
I really
do.
Is there anything that is a shot in the dark more than a coaches poll, a preseason coaches poll? Here's the thing about coaches polls. They're mostly made up by GAs and support staffers, or they'll go to a guy like, I don't know, your director of football operations and be like, hey, you're going to do that this year. Because the voters on the coaches poll, you have Major Applewhite of South Alabama, Tim Beck of Coastal Carolina. Who knew he was there now? Tim Beck, former Minnesota head coach.
Okay.
I think. Ryan Day. You think Ryan Day of Ohio State every week is diving into his coaches poll? Dan Lanning, Oregon coach Dan Lanning, is a voter on the coaches poll this year.
Mm.
Kenny Dillingham of Arizona State. Kalen DeBoer. I don't think any of these guys...
How dare you insinuate that these men would let their names be put on this and that they themselves would not do it?
No, I think that what happens is like their director of football ops hands it to him and says, I got this for you. Or a GA hands it to him and says, here's your coach's poll. Does it look okay? And he's like, I don't care. Yes. They have so many other things on their plate. I don't really think that they care. But the coach's poll is out, and the top five go as follows. Number one, Georgia, taking up 46 first-place votes, the Georgia Bulldogs.
That's a lot of those.
Yeah, Ohio State is second with 7 first-place votes.
That's there's a pretty large distortion in first-place votes here.
I would say so.
There's no like, well, I think this. It's overwhelming.
Yeah.
In favor of Georgia.
Then Oregon is third with no first place votes.
I found that to be a little interesting.
Yeah. Texas is fourth. They got 1 first place votes. And then Alabama rounds out the top 5. Also, 0 first place votes. The only other team to get a first place vote was Michigan.
Which, again, I found interesting.
Well, I think somebody just like that's one of the good old boys just saying, or is Sharon Moore on
yeah, a voter on this? Is he a voter on this? Yeah.
I mean, that could be it right there. But that is your top five. Georgia, Ohio State, Oregon, Texas, Alabama, which is, seems to be the common top five that you've seen circulating around college football. We have seen, like, from writers and media outlets, you would have Ohio State has been number one in a lot of them that have come out. But these are the official polls. The coaches poll and the AP top 25 are the two official polls until we get to the playoff rankings, college football playoff top 25, which doesn't come out until later in the season after the novel idea. After they actually see teams play college football this year.
I don't like that.
It's crazy, right?
I like throwing it against the wall and see what happens.
Yeah.
Because then it's fun to go back and look at it and go, hey, dummy.
Yeah. Yeah. But
that's
the
only purpose these things serve.
100%.
But again, why not? Because it's August what?
It's August 5th. And it generates conversation around
it's
the sport.
It's something to talk about. It's all it is.
It gives fans something to look forward to as the season is about to get underway.
Or be mad about.
If you look at how the rest of the top 25 sorted out, SEC with 9 teams. We're talking consolidation of power. 9 SEC teams in the top 25. 6 from the Big Ten. So if you're doing the math on that, 15 of the top 25 come from 2 conferences. The Big 12 has 5 teams, with their highest team being Utah at 13th, and ACC with 4 teams, with Florida State being the highest at 10th. The only, if you're doing math in your head there, that is 24 teams. The other team ranked? Notre Dame in the top 25. But the top 10 consists of four SEC, four Big Ten, one ACC, and Notre Dame in the top 10.
There you go.
And Notre Dame may be falling because their starting left tackle just went down for the year with the torn pec.
Yeah, that's not great, Bob.
When you're trying to replace Joe Alt, who's the fifth overall pick by the Chargers, and you have to replace him before the season, you've even played a game because he tore his pec, that's not good.
Tearing your pec just sounds
miserable.
Absolutely terrible.
Yeah, I can imagine. I've seen guys that tear their pec. Like, Suk tore his pec not too long ago. But when you tear, I've seen guys that have torn their pec,
the full
bench pressing, and it just balls up in the middle. Like, it just, like, goes to the middle of your body. You can't do anything.
No.
Man. And so
I've avoided pretty much all of the upper body tears.
Yeah. Your lower body is a mess.
Yeah,
we know that.
Yeah. No, it's a mess from the hips down. But yeah, the whole idea of tearing your pec though, it's like, good. Didn't Rashawn Slater, the Chargers, didn't he tear his pec? Isn't that what happened to him?
I think so.
That seems kind of weird. Like, and these guys aren't like tearing them like lifting.
Yeah,
it's you get torn pecs in practices.
It's when you get hit with a rushing D end and you've got one arm extended, or if you have an arm and it gets caught in between two other guys and then gets yanked back.
Yeah, yeah. When you get that extension out with strong human beings
pushing against it.
Yeah. That's gnarly. But that is your top 10 is dominated by the SEC and the Big Ten. This should be a surprise to nobody. Like, nobody whatsoever.
No.
When you look at why the Big Ten and the SEC expanded the way they did, this was it. This is exactly like they wanted. They wanted to go out.
Control the top 40 of college football, have it be their two conferences.
Consolidation of power.
Yeah.
I think the pressing question that a lot of folks have, and I've seen this a lot already, Oregon at three. Are the Oregon Ducks the third best team in college football? And a lot of people are wondering, what has Oregon done to get this moniker of the third best team in all of college football? You are looking at a program that replaces their quarterback, who was a first-round draft pick. Mm-hmm. You are revamping your entire secondary. And you were replacing the best center in all of college football in Jackson Powers Johnson from a year ago. On top of that, your defensive line, two of your biggest factors on your defensive line from a year ago, they are also being replaced.
Is that a lot?
Yeah. Seems like a lot. Why is Oregon seen as kind of this darling of college football? We'll get to that after Will with SportsCenter.
Dusty on the Odyssey app and 1080 The Fan.
There is a poll up at Danny and Dusty on Twitter. You can vote on. You can also text us on the Vancouver Ford text line, 503-864-6326. Your dollar goes further at Vancouver Ford. They treat you right before, during, or after the sale. Visit them online at vancouverford.com or in the YouTube comments, youtube.com/1080AM, The Fan. Are the Oregon Ducks deserving of the number three ranking in the preseason college football coaches poll? Yes or no? We're keeping it simple on this one.
Yeah, there isn't enough forced leniency being done in this poll.
No, we're making you choose a side. That's what we're supposed to do here.
Okay.
We're forcing you to pick a direction. Damn it! There is a lot of people that are skeptical of Oregon at three and the hype that is around the University of Oregon and their team heading into the 2024 season. And when you look at a team from a year ago that had two losses on the season, both of them to the national runner-up, the University of Washington, in the regular season and in the conference championship game, they didn't get a great measuring stick in the Fiesta Bowl, obviously, playing Liberty and just absolutely running them into the ground in Arizona. But you look at the way that Oregon has gone about building their roster over the last handful of years, in the fact that you have a coaching staff that stayed together relatively well.
Mm-hmm.
When you think of Carlos Lachlan, he moves on. He goes to Ohio State kind of later in the cycle.
Yeah.
You lost a couple of strength and conditioning coaches, and they move on. Mississippi State, I believe, is where they went to. And they got better positions. They upgraded their lot in life by going somewhere else. They keep both their coordinators.
Which is important in today's day and age because those are the ones that get pilfered.
You did not get pilfered in the transfer portal.
No.
And I think that this is where a lot of the hype around the Oregon program has gone to. The uptick in recruiting over the last handful of years has afforded Oregon to keep stockpiling talent.
Yep.
You look especially at the edge rusher positions last year where they rotated three freshmen in on the edges, and then they had Jordan Birch, who returns for another year in Eugene. There is confidence and stability there. But I think where Oregon is getting a big bump is look no further than the transfer portal rankings from a year ago. Look at the College Football Top 25 preseason coaches poll, and you go down the list. They are all teams that either bring back a lot of guys in that top five or were wildly successful in the transfer portal in acquiring talent, in talent acquisition. Whether it is Georgia, who returns a quarterback in Carson Beck, which not a lot of guys are returning.
No.
At quarterback.
No. You take a look at this quarterback class. There's a reason why Shedeur Sanders keeps coming up as kind of one of the top quarterbacks in this class. It's one, he's talented. Two, it's kind of a barren landscape of quarterback in the cycle.
Three of the top five teams, Georgia, Texas, Alabama, they all bring back their quarterback from a year ago with Carson Beck, Jalen Milroe, Quinn Ewers, right? The other two, Ohio State and Oregon, went out and they got what was perceived as the two best available quarterbacks in the transfer portal in Will Howard and Dylan Gabriel. Most important position in football, they did a really good job of going there. But then you look at Oregon, they had the second best transfer portal rankings of any team in college football last year.
And I'd say, as it pertains to Gabriel, it's not just the talent level that they brought in with Gabriel that made sense. Dylan Gabriel stylistically makes sense. It's at Oregon, I don't think you need to have the pro-style quarterback. I think that with the coordinators they've had, whether it be Dillingham or Stein, they take these multifaceted quarterbacks who have – I think the thing they look for is processing and accuracy. Mm-hmm. I think those are the two things, if you put a gun to their head, that they would say that they prioritize more than anything.
I think experience, too, when you look at Dylan Gabriel, will be the guy who unseats Bo Nix as the most starts in college football history by the end of this year.
And when we had him on for Big Ten Media Days, the thing I asked him was, you know, the change and coming into a new system and being at UCF, being in Oklahoma, now being at Oregon, like how do you take and implement those things? I think what they've shown, again, whether it's Dillingham or Stein, taking things from Bo's past and kind of bringing that into what Oregon does best on both sides of the ball, playing complementary football. And this is where when you were out, it might have been at Duck Media Day, or I gave the Ducks the credit and the benefit of the doubt. Even though they're changing over at quarterback, even though they lose their top wide receiver, even though they've lost guys on both sides of the ball, they've shown that over the last 3-4 years, that if they lose those guys, they don't only replace those guys, they sometimes get better. And I think what you had in Oregon in the past was when a great player came and went, it was this chasm of a black hole that they just struggled to fill. Now that's not the case.
And I think they did that in a variety of positions, right? Like in along those lines, right? You go out and you lose Troy Franklin to the draft and you go and you replace him with Evan Stewart, former five-star receiver.
Probably a better talent.
From a talent perspective, yeah. You lose Bo Nix. Not only do you get Dylan Gabriel, but then you also get Dante Moore, where you have depth and you're kind of backloading your roster. They revamp their secondary. And in the revamp of their secondary, they go out and they get Jabbar Muhammad from the University of Washington. You also went out and got Cam Alexander from UT San Antonio. Kobe Savage, which you got from the Kansas State University. On the defensive line, out goes guys like Casey Rogers and Brandon Dorless. In come Jamari Caldwell and Derek Harmon, guys who have experience playing at the highest level, and the drop-off is not that bad, right? You're also backfilling a lot of positions, and that is where I think a lot of the hype around Oregon is that the era of the transfer portal, right? Washington's not even ranked in the top 25 this year because Kalen DeBoer left, their entire offense left. Jed Fish came in, and Jed Fish is going to do a phenomenal job at Washington. But I believe it. He is a damn good head coach. He has assembled a very good staff, and he can recruit his butt off. But they had a drop-off with guys like Jabbar Muhammad entering the transfer portal, guys going to the NFL, head coach leaves. There's a lot that is in flux. Alabama had the exact same thing, right? Nick Saban leaves, and you're sitting there and you're going, Alabama, you know, they're a blue blood. They could bring in Kalen DeBoer. They only drop down to fifth, right?
It's nuts. I'm looking at UW's transfer class. 28.
Yeah.
28.
They had to. They had to bring experience in.
But they also, I mean, they brought in a ton of talent.
Yeah, but you are, and I think this is going back to why people are so high on Oregon. It wasn't just that they brought in 14 guys. It was the level of talent that they brought in behind them. Because Washington, they bring in 28 guys from the portal. They have the 11th rated transfer portal rankings. And look, recruiting rankings, you can throw them out because you don't really know exactly how guys are going to develop and what staffs are manipulating. But the transfer portal, you know a lot of what these guys have and who they are. I think that's why you look at Ohio State as being really high up in this cycle as well, because they upgraded their quarterback room and they went in the portal and they backfilled their holes. They improved their staff leaps and bounds. The hard part about the transfer portal era is that from year to year, you can have teams that make these monumental jumps, and it has been a build under Lanning and Oregon to get to a point where they've backfilled their roster with high school recruits, and now the transfer portal to be depth-wise, you look at it and you go, you can see why the hype is there. Because where is the holes on Oregon's roster?
The thing is, I don't think that you're going to find one you're like, that's the thing. That's because I remember Duck fans downplaying Jabbar Muhammad coming into the last season. Is like, I don't know if he's really going to be that guy, you know, for, you know, he could be a good corner. And then by the end of that season, it was, oh, he's really, really good. And that guy comes in and now he's your guy. And again, there's a change there. But if I was going to look at something, I would have gone, oh, the Duck secondary is probably a spot that I would look at. And you look at who's actually back there now and you go, well, they got an absolute monster in the transfer portal and they continue to develop and put guys in a position to succeed.
I think the chemistry continuity in the back end of the defense is something that will be a work in progress as Oregon starts the year. But when you start the season with Idaho, Boise State, and Oregon State,
it allows that.
And then UCLA, you are that continuity and chemistry has the affords them the time to grow together. I think that is huge for Oregon coming out of the gate this year. I also think the same can be said with the offensive line, where you have Poncho coming in at center, and you think of where Oregon has gone with that center position. I mean, you go from Alex Forsythe to JPJ, and now you have Poncho, who has never played the center position before. There is going to be an adjustment period through there, but we saw him play very effectively in the Fiesta Bowl against Liberty. Liberty is not going to be, you know, the heart or the teeth of a Big Ten defense, but at the same time, the same thing we said about the back end of the defense, or back end of the defense, you can say up front on the offensive line, where you have experience, you have veterans that are in there, and you can work through some stuff with that learning curve of making your checks, making sure guys are in the right spot. The center position, there's a lot on his plate. But when you bring in an experienced quarterback behind him and you have experience on both sides of him of the offensive line, you can afford to grow through that in those first 4 weeks of the season. So for those that are saying, where's this hype coming from? Oregon hasn't really done anything. It's talent acquisition.
Yeah.
It's continuity with your coaching staff, and it's development and growth of the roster that people have seen over the last 2 years of Dan Lanning as the head coach.
Regardless of how you feel about Oregon, good, bad, or otherwise, there is one metric that it has been successful in evaluating college football teams. It's the total score when you talk about the accumulation of talent.
Yeah.
It is the overwhelming thing, whether you talk to Dave Bartu and College Football Matrix, like the most telling thing you can do is over a 5-year period, what does your talent look like?
Yep.
And what Oregon has been able to do is bring in more talent, weed out guys that aren't their fit or don't live up to their standards. They who's the best player that they lost in the transfer portal?
That they lost in the portal?
I was just looking through it. Is it Triquez?
Triquez Bridges, who started at corner for them in spots. You could look at him.
Dowdell?
No. No. They in the portal, they did not lose anybody.
They lost 20 guys, but like of those 20 guys, like
I would say, because at the time it was a concern when Ben Roberts left and went to Michigan State, because you were hoping that you would see him kind of fill those shoes on the defensive line. But no, I mean, Brian Addison is a guy who we thought he was like that guy that, hey, maybe this is going to be the week or the year that he pops. Yeah. And then all of a sudden there was that game at, I think it was at Washington.
Was it Washington, right?
Where we saw him leave the game and
never
saw him again.
Yeah.
Never saw him again.
But I mean, but my point being, there's not the defections. This isn't, because you can say, well, the talent accumulation, look at Texas A&M. Well, Texas A&M was springing leaks everywhere. And every cycle, more they bring some guys in, but they lose 3-5 stars. You know,
right.
They're bringing in, they're retaining it, they're growing it. I don't want to say it because it sounds dirty, but they've gotten rid of some fake 5 stars.
Yeah,
they've gone through the churn and they've kept real. And this is the thing that I have always been critical of the Ducks of, is that they didn't have that beef. They didn't have the interior on either side. Now they do.
Yeah.
And with that, look at the teams that are in the top right now. Whether it's Georgia, whether it's Ohio State, whether it's Michigan, whether it's Texas. Guess what they all have? They're all strong in the interior. And
Big boys up front matter, man.
And it's not one line. It's depth.
Yeah.
That is a thing that Oregon historically has just never had, and now they do, and they're getting rightfully the credit for doing it.
Yeah. And look, Mario Cristobal deserves a ton of credit for making Oregon a cool place to go if you're a lineman. Because, look, let's make no mistake about it. The Stormtrooper uniforms look really good on the skill position guys. But those all-whites, they do not.
No, they're not
great.
They're
not flattering on the big fellas.
No, that you look like a Stay Puft Marshmallow Man with a freaking reflective decal.
But Mario Cristobal got those big fellas to come out on both sides of the football. And then Dan Lanning has taken that and continued to grow and build off it. And I think that when you look at the guys that he's brought in on their coaching staff, whether it's Alik Terry with NFL experience on the offensive line, they bring in an assistant, Mike Cavanaugh, with decades of experience as an offensive line coach and producing NFL talent on offensive lines at Oregon State, Syracuse, Nebraska, Hawaii, everywhere he's been. And then on the defensive side of the ball, you bring in Tui Oti, who guys love and guys want to ride for and play for on the defensive line. And then, oh, by the way, high-end defensive players, they want to go and play for a defensive-minded head coach, you know? And then the fact that you're able to keep
Will Stein. Oh, so you matter?
Yeah, so it matters. So it matters. But the Ducks are third in the coaches' preseason poll. And at Danny and Dusty on Twitter, we have the poll up. Are the Ducks deserving of the number 3 ranking in the preseason college football coaches' poll? Yes or no? 59.5% of respondents so far say yes. 40.5% say no. Go and vote at Danny and Dusty on Twitter. All is right in the world. It feels good. Next on The Fan.
This is Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and Portland's sports leader, 1080 The Fan.
The fastest man in the world resides in the United States of America. All is right in the world. All is right in the world. Noah Lyles getting it done.
Is all right in the world?
Yeah. Yeah. What do you mean?
I mean, look, everything is great now. Look,
all the world's problems
I'm
have been
USA,
fixed.
USA, but also watching Usain Bolt laugh at people was fun.
Yeah, but you know what? It would have been a lot more fun if he was an American sprinter, right?
You're not wrong. But you know? Watching him literally turn his head and laugh
yeah.
was one of the more unhinged things I've ever seen in sports.
Yeah, well, I don't know if we're going to be seeing a 9.58 anytime soon in the 100 meters.
My God.
Or anytime again.
Ever.
But that 100 meter dash yesterday was one of the more electric scenes that we have seen in sports in a long time, because it wasn't just the fact that Noah Lyles stormed back, and what the only time that he was in first place was like in the final stride and a half of the race. He was in last place at one point, and he worked his way back up to first place and winning at the lean at the finish line.
My man doesn't come out of the blocks well.
It was the closest finish in a 100 meter dash since the 1980 Olympics. When this was decided by 5/1000ths of a second.
Yeah, because both him and Thompson from Jamaica both finished with a 9.79.
9.79.784 was Noah Lyles. 9.79.789 was Thompson.
The difference in what? Probably 2 inches?
We need to see if Thompson can catch a football, because that dude is yoked out of his gourd, mm-hmm. and he is enormous. He is huge.
Yeah, slightly bigger than Noah Lyles.
But if you think about this, though, the guy who took bronze, Fred Curley, also American, he was only 2/100ths of a second behind Lyles. The entire race, it wasn't just first and second. The entire race was decided by 2/10ths of a second, less than, or no, it'd be 0.12, 1/200ths of a second, right?
Yeah.
0.12 was the difference between first place and Noah Lyles in last place, which was Oblique Seville, who Noah Lyles infamously said, I'll remember this, in Paris, when Lyles was peeking over at him at a Golden Spikes event like 2 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
The entirety of the race was electric. When you have a wave of eight guys, there's no person that was got skunked in that race.
No.
And the change of it, and the fact that it came down to the wire, that was awesome. And the closing phase by Noah Lyles was, he was accelerating through the finish line.
Well, that's why he does the 200.
Whew.
That's the thing, is he's a guy, Will and I were talking before the show. He's one of the rare guys that has fifth gear.
Yep.
Where a lot of these guys, it's their technique out of the block, and yes, they're fast, but it's their ability to transition out of the block into bang, 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 bang through all their gears, but they only have fourth.
Yeah.
Noah Lyles has fifth, and that's where you see him in the 200, where all of a sudden you just, and he's gone. And that's, you saw him hit that gear and, like you said, accelerate through the finish line, and I think that was literally the difference in this race.
Lee Diffie did not have a good day, though.
Oh, no, it happened.
There's an Olympic gold medal waiting for somebody who wants it the most. Now Thompson starts to wind up. Curley's going with him. This is close. Jamaica's going to do it. Kishane Thompson is a gold medalist on debut. We thought it was going to take 9.7 to win. Guess what he just ran? 9.78. Was a lean at the tape by Thompson. Visually, we think he got it. They're working on the photo.
Fred Curley pushed him all the way. Noah Lyles is looking anxiously.
Oh. Do you see NBC? I didn't watch the replay,
but they edited it.
They edited it out.
Yep.
They did it.
They had somebody else over the top correct the call.
That's brutal.
On the replay in primetime.
That's brutal. Because I don't know why, and he's a great track and field announcer. Yeah. I don't know why in the world, you know that in a race that tight, they're going to go
to the photo.
The photo finish. Yeah. And everybody knows, like, it looked like Thompson won.
Because of the lean.
When you have somebody closing that way, and this is the thing about it as well, it's not your foot, it's not your head, it's not your arm, it's your torso.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got to, it's the first torso. Lyles accelerating through the finish line, he had forward lean. Mm-hmm. Everybody else was in their B phase where they're just trying to maintain speed going through. Lyles was leaning forward, moving, and it wasn't just his lean at the finish line. He was accelerating, man. It was bonkers. Terrible call, but great finish to that race. You know that when Carl Lewis won the 100 in 1988, he would have finished dead last in that 100 meters yesterday.
Which is kind of crazy because we've been so accustomed to Usain Bolt for, what, 16 years.
Yeah.
That this was slow. Yeah. This was slow. This was a slow 100 meter.
I mean, compared to Usain Bolt, yeah, it was.
But that's what I mean. Like, it's he has distorted what it means to be otherworldly fast.
All eight going under 10 is wild.
Yeah.
Like, the speed around the world is... It's,
I mean, you
insane.
Heard him. 9.7. You need to break. You need to get under 9.98 to win.
To win, you needed to get under 9.8 to medal.
Yeah,
like that. That's even crazier. Is that 9.81 got the bronze medal
from dead crazy. Stop to the finish line faster than 10 meters a second. From dead stop.
Way to go, America. Way to go, America. Noah Lyles, he does it again. Let's take a whip around the college or the NFL training camps, as we're getting a little bit of buzz coming out of some places where some battles that we weren't expecting to be won maybe coming down to the wire. That's how we start hour number two. Danny and Dusty on the Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Horse rep pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.